All right. And praise the Lord to see you all here tonight as we gather together to celebrate all that the Lord is doing and to see all those children being dedicated. What a joy that is. And it reminds us of our great responsibility to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And we have no greater joy, as the Bible says, to know that our children are walking in the truth. And I want to speak to you about walking in the truth, walking in the light. If you have your Bible, let's turn together in God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'll begin tonight, verse 8. Verse 8 through 21, walking in the light. And look at the very first verse. It's on the screens here, and it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." He didn't even say you were once in darkness, like you were kind of in a bit of trouble. He just says, you were once darkness. He's describing every one of us in this room. And that is to say that you were spiritually darkness. He has said earlier in chapter 2, he says you were dead in your sin. We were not alive spiritually speaking. We were once darkness. So, how many of you think it was because of your wisdom or your religion or your works or something you did that stopped you from being darkness? Don't raise your hand. Now, in fact, what we've learned in the first three chapters of Ephesians is that's what God has done for us because of his great love. We were in darkness. We were lost. We were under the sway of Satan, and there's nothing we could do to come back to life, but God did something. And he spends the first three chapters talking about what God's done for us. And the second half of the book, the second three chapters, is now what are you going to do about it? And God telling us what's the right thing to do now in our lives as we walk with him. The pattern of our life is changed now that we're alive. Now that we are alive in Christ. What does that look like in your life? Now, as you get a hold of what verse 8 is saying, you could actually begin to act like you hit the lottery. Have you ever seen somebody's reaction, like when they had the sweepstakes and they knock on the door and they say, "Hey, you just won $100,000 and they go crazy and the camera's following them around the house and they're screaming, they're so excited. The news I'm giving you now is so much greater than any amount of money you could ever win. How many of you have ever been excited because your team scored a touchdown and won the game and you jumped up and down? Anybody ever done that? All of you have. I know you have. You get excited about something. This is the greatest news you could possibly hear. So I'm going to go ahead and skip a few lines down when he says, "Wake up and get a hold of what God has done for us." We were darkness. We were dead in our sins. And then it says, but now, God did something. He adopted us into his family. We're accepted now before God. We're blessed in heavenly places, chosen by God before the foundation of the world. We have been redeemed by the blood of God the Son, Jesus Christ. We've been sealed unto the day of redemption. We've been given an inheritance. God has birthed us, caused us to be born again, born into the family of God. That's what God has done for you. No pity parties and saying, "God doesn't love me." God created you. God the Son steps out of glory and he dies for you, was crucified for you, for your sin. And he has caused you to live spiritually now. You were once darkness, but now something's different. Get a hold of the change by what God has done, by his grace, but now you are light. Stark contrast. Do you see it in God's word? You were darkness. By the work and by the grace and mercy of God, you are now light through faith in Jesus Christ. You are no longer dead in your sin, but now you're alive in Christ, and you are light in the Lord. This little light of mine, right? Oh, you don't want me singing, but we're excited about what God's done. We see people saved and baptized. So many folks baptized just last couple weeks. We're excited about what the Lord is doing. When you're saved, you cross over from death unto life, from darkness unto light, and you are light in the Lord. And so he says, because of that, now walk as children of light. In other words, you used to live in a way that was true to your nature, your sinful, dark nature. You were true to that. But now that you've been saved through faith in Christ, the appeal here by Paul is saying, now just walk in this new nature. Walk as a child of God. Walk as children of light. You're a child of God. Act like it. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit is what, you know, the roots are being fed with water and nutrition. And then what happens automatically is the fruit of that. As we spend time in God's word, as we spend time with God in prayer, as we spend time in the Lord with that nutrition of the word, then what happens automatically is we begin to bear the fruit. And what he's referring to here is the fruit of walking in the light. As we walk now in the light or in the Spirit, then we bear the fruit of the Spirit. He tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that if we're abiding in Christ, if we're walking in the light, then the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's flowing out of our lives now. It happens naturally as we abide in our relationship with Christ, in his word. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these things are now flowing in our lives as we have been saved and now we're living out our faith. So he says, walk. Walk as the children of light. That's the new pattern of your life. And it should be observable by those who knew you before Christ and those who have seen you after. Somebody says, wait a second. Something different about you. What they're observing is the new nature. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anybody is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. We're not talking about finding religion. That's no good. We're talking about finding Christ and walking in this new nature, walking in the light. And that's the fruit of this walking in the light, the fruit of the Spirit, is in all goodness, speaking about moral excellence. And it's in all righteousness, speaking about integrity. We don't have moral excellence to get saved. We don't have integrity to get saved. But because we are saved and now walking in the light, we have these things as the fruit in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Look at verse 10. He says, finding out. As you're walking in the light, finding out, or the idea here is proving. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now as you're walking in the light, you're walking with the Lord, almost exploring the new nature. And now you have different appetites. You were once hungry for self, Now you're hungry for the Lord. You were once hungry for the world. Now you're hungry for the Lord and the Word. And we're proving now and finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. The Lord is with you. Lord, should I dress this way? Would that be pleasing to you? Lord, should I talk this way? That's amazing. I have three children, two of which are teenagers. One's about to be. And it's amazing as we interact and speak with them how they'll say, yeah, it's kind of tough. In the world we live in and even some of the friends we have, the language, you'd be surprised. Really? Well, what we need to do is then look and seek out, find out what is acceptable to the Lord. It doesn't take long. We've already looked at when he said, let no unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but that which is edifying or building others up. Man, do you want to walk with God and be found pleasing to him or not? Because if you can talk that way without it even bothering you, man, are you walking in the light? Do you even know the Lord? And you would fall under conviction as you read these passages. Should I walk that way? Should I talk that way? Should I dress that way? Should I spend all that money on all these things? Is that selfish or is that pleasing to the Lord? And so we're just trying to press ourselves into the Scripture. I'm trying to press my life in here. Is what I'm watching on TV or on my computer, is that pleasing to God or no? I want to find out and ask the Lord to help me to walk in a way that's pleasing to him, proving what is acceptable to the Lord, how we spend our time, how we spend our talents and our treasures, and what he's about to express. Listen. He's going to tell you that this is very important because what God has done is he's given to each one of us a little bit of time, a designated, determined amount of time. He's given it to you. And he wants you to spend it very wisely, making the most of every opportunity. So he tells us in verse 11, he says, and have no fellowship with darkness. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't run that way anymore. We're not running with darkness. We're not yoked with darkness. That's not our new pattern. Now, we are going to impact the darkness. Salt and light have a heavy impact on darkness. Are you guys ready to join with the people of God and say, let's go do some serious damage to Satan's kingdom. Let's turn on the light. Because this room could be pitch black, dark as dark can be. You turn on one light and everybody can see it. Amen? How many of you are ready to step up to this walk and say, count me in. I am going to let my light shine. I'm not going to run in darkness. I'm not living some covert life. Hide this little light of mine. No way. No. Going to let it shine. God has caused you to be light. Listen, and he wants you to shine. That is God's expressed will for your life. Are you walking that way? Yes or no? You're not if you are having fellowship, running with the unfruitful works of darkness, things that we've already discussed. He says, but rather than running with them, rather expose them. That's what light does. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by the unfruitful works of darkness. It's shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And the idea here is to go around talking about the evil and the unfruitful works of darkness is is potentially going to cause somebody else to stumble. I don't want to sit around talking about it all the time. Just expose that. Turn the light on. He says in verse 13, but all things that are exposed, made manifest, shown up by the light. They're exposed by the light. For whatever makes manifest, whatever reveals it, is the light. The light reveals what the darkness conceals. The darkness is concealing the sinful nature. It's just an arena in which Satan can operate. But God is light. And it's this light that makes everything now visible. Where does the light come from? Well, God is light. God has revealed light, truth, in His Word. And so now, as we are light and walk in the light, we can expose the things that are darkness by the light that we have. Listen, think about it this way. What doesn't change darkness? Religion doesn't change darkness. Going through religious exercises, traditions of men, religions of men, rituals of men that are not found in Scripture, that doesn't change anything. It just makes you religious. You might get a sheet of paper or something along those lines. Religion doesn't change a life. God changes the life. Many people in the world today are trusting in their religion to save them, to cleanse them. But it's the Word of God that does that work in our lives. That's what God says. And I hope you're here tonight because you say, I want to hear what God says. I'm interested, what does God say? I'm not interested in the opinions of men, the rituals and traditions of men. Religion doesn't bring light to the dark world. Look, politics won't change the inside of a man. It might bring some forced moral reform outwardly, but God is looking for the inward change, the light that begins through His Word to work in your heart and in your life to affect change. Listen, parenting is very crucial today, but yet we try to bring the outward forces of, you better not do that or you're going to get a spanking, right? And so we can get our children to behave because they know they're going to get in trouble. Hey, we're going over to so-and-so's house. We're going to go over to Pastor Dave's house tonight. You better behave, or you're going to get a whooping. So the kid's scared, and he's like, man, I'm going to act fine. You know, whatever that looks like. Or it could be, hey, you better behave. If you do, I'll take you out for ice cream later. Now, that's outward pressure to get a behavioral response. And so what we do is we go around stapling fruit onto our lives and our kids' lives, stapling fruit, but it never changes the heart. What we're looking for is to shepherd the hearts of our children through the light of the Word. What pleases God? How is it that the Lord who loves you, created you, died for you, is coming again? How is it you can glorify Him and know Him? Now we're appealing to the heart so that the light can shine inwardly, and when they have been transformed internally in their heart, then they can begin to think, what is it that pleases the Lord? To honor my mother and father, then I'll do that. What is it that pleases the Lord? to not dress this way or to talk this way, that's what pleases God, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let my light shine. And lo and behold, they graduate high school by some gracious gift of God, and they go away to college, perhaps, and they're no longer under the roof, and they go away, and if all that's happened is we've stapled fruit on their lives by saying, do this and don't do this, as soon as they get away from the loud voice that told them what to do, they're going to go to college, and there was never a heart transformation, and they're going to get out, and they're going to live true to their nature because the chains are off. What Paul is talking about is this new life, the light shining inwardly, now outwardly, and when that child goes away to live on his own, he's not like, whoo, I'm free. Nobody telling me what to do or not to do. His heart, her heart has been shepherded now to where they can go and live on their own. And they've had their lives cultivated where they say, just like I did when I had training wheels on in the house, I live to please God. Now, mom and dad aren't here anymore, and I still live, training wheels are off, but I'm living. God, what would you have me to do? God, what pleases you? How can I glorify you? Now they're ready to live on their own. This is what he's talking about. Proving the work of the Lord, proving the word of the Lord. It's not moral reform, parenting by yelling, but rather the word of God working in our lives, the lives of our children, grandchildren. It's the word that brings true change and causes us to be born again and live in such a way that we say, Lord, I want to walk in the light and be found pleasing to you. So he says in verse 14, therefore, awake. Wake up spiritually, you who sleep, those who were dead in their sin, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That's what he desires to do. You don't have to sit here tonight and wonder, does God want to save me? Does God want to know me? Of course he does. He created you for that relationship. Does God want me to know his word? Of course. He gave it to us. He desires for you to walk in the light. And Christ will give you light. He's quoting from the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures in Isaiah 60 in verse 1. And so Paul continues to write to us and he says, so then, see that you walk. In other words, pay attention. Wake up. This is of the utmost importance. In light of this, that it costs God his very life, see to it then, since he has not only died for you, but he has birthed you into his kingdom, see to it that you walk, here we go again, the pattern of your life, not given over to the world and worldly things, but the pattern of our lives given over to the things of the kingdom, the things of God. Walk circumspectly. You know, circumference around, specs, your glasses. Go get my specs so I can see. To look around. The idea here is to pay attention, lift up your head, get your radar going, look around, and walk precisely in wisdom, looking around and paying attention. Now, every once in a while, we hear in the news that it just seems like some people are running around causing problems, and we've said to the ladies, be careful walking to your car. When you leave a store, walk carefully, pay attention. And so, hopefully, we want you always, you come out of a store, look around, pay attention, look in your cars behind your car, your back seat. Pay attention, right? We want you to be safe. And the idea here is that's true spiritually. Spiritually speaking, it's as if you're walking out to the car like this and not paying attention to the dangers that are around you spiritually. And so he says, see to it that you walk with the radar up, paying attention spiritually, not as foolish, not as fools, but in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. How do you walk in wisdom? Well, you know what God's word says. You know what he says is right, what's not right, what's pleasing to him. And so now you're walking around in the light and you're paying attention to what's there. Hey, that's not for me. Hey, that is for me. We're walking in God's wisdom that he's revealed to us through his word. Not as foolish, but as wise. Now in verse 16, he tells us by doing so, we're redeeming the time. This is the time that God says, hey, I'm going to give you 80 years. God says, I'm going to give you 72 years. And it's a gift from God. And it's something that at the end of the day, you can never get back. God gives us a fixed amount of time, and we spend that time. You're spending it on something. You can't get it back. So he says, of that time that God gives us, spend it wisely, redeeming the time. We read in Psalm 90, verse 12, he says, teach us, O Lord, teach us to number our days, giving us and helping us to apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to pay attention, to walk circumspectly, not as foolish but as wise. He says, because the days are evil. How many of you know that the days are evil? That's step one. If you don't know that the days are evil, you're likely to get clobbered and you didn't even know. Pay attention. How many of you would say, hey, I pay attention. I'm living in wisdom, the wisdom of the word. This is God's will for your life. And so he says in verse 17, therefore, do not be unwise. We need the wisdom of God. Do not be unwise. You could perceive that as a command. You might have different ways of expressing that, like in your own home. Don't be, but do be wise. Wisdom to the point where he says, watch this. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What a powerful statement. In other words, it is understandable. Many times people like to say it's so far out of reach to know what God's will is for my life that I don't even seek after it anymore. But clearly he's saying, I want you to have wisdom and I want you to understand what God's will is. Let me just say that again because it's important for you to grab this. I want you to have wisdom. This is God's word to you. And I want you to understand what God's will is for your life. You say, well, what is God's will for my life? Well, God has spoken to us, and he's spoken to us in his word. And so as we read his word, clearly he tells us what his will is for our life. In part, you are participating in that very will of God by simply being here tonight. Did you know that? He tells us, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the pattern of some. It's God's will that we gather together around the Word of God. It's God's will that you study and meditate on the Word of God. It's God's will that you give. It's God's will that you tell others about Jesus. It's God's will, time and time again, that we pray, that we seek His face, that we walk with him, that we understand his will. Now, a lot of times we're saying, well, I want to know more. And we can ask the question. You going to church regularly? No. You reading the Bible regularly? No. How's your prayer life? Don't have one. Worship the Lord? No. Walking with him? No. Well, let's do those basic things first. And when those things are in place, isn't it interesting how all of a sudden we build on that foundation and he starts speaking to us a little more precisely about starting certain ministries, being involved in serving in certain places. And he says here that it is ours to not only walk with God, but to understand, to connect the dots, understand what the will of the Lord is for your life. Now, he says in verse 18, as we walk with God, he says, and do not be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled by anything. You say, well, I guess it's okay. I can get drunk with vodka as long as it's not wine. That's not what he's saying here. You'd be surprised how people want to try to stretch the scriptures to make it. He didn't say anything about vodka. All right. Work with me a little bit, okay? Don't be drunk. But that's not even where he's trying to go at with this. The idea is, how can you walk in the light if you're being controlled by something else? Don't be drunk with wine or anything else for that matter. Don't ruin yourself. Drugs and alcohol. Nobody ever became a better person by drinking, doing drugs. But rather than being controlled and filled with intoxicating things that make you not even true to who you are, he said, but rather be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be under control of some substance, but rather be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Be guided not by the things of this world, but by God. Is the Holy Spirit who now dwells in the believer, is he the one who's controlling your life? Are you filled with the Spirit? Listen, you can't be filled with God if you're full of yourself, right? I mean, even as believers, sometimes we need to get a little bit too full of ourselves. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Allow God to work in our lives. Now, this is different. Let me be clear. When a person is saved, the Holy Spirit is deposited into that person, dwells in that person. That's not what this is speaking about. This is talking about be ye continually filled. It's like hoisting up a sail and letting the wind fill it and be filled with the Holy Spirit. As at the end of the day or during the day or in the morning, and you take a knee and you say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't walk in a way that was pleasing to you. Lord, I confess these sins. And Lord, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit as I meditate on your word, as I walk with you, oh God. That's like pulling into a gas station, fill her up. And actually, this is in the imperative, it's a command. Do it. Be filled. Be ye continually being filled as God's people with the Spirit. That's what it is to walk in the light. Be continually filled. Command. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit of God? Is he leading and guiding and convicting? Are you sensitive to him being in your life? Or you go, I ain't even thought about him since last time I was at church. When was that? A month or two ago. That's not being filled with the Spirit. That's not God's will for your life. Be filled with the Spirit. And in verse 19, speaking to one another. How? Harshly? There's times when confrontation is needed. but speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms, speaking scripture, speaking God's truth to one another. And write a note to somebody you love. Write a note to someone you don't love. And write a scripture verse in there. Speaking God's truth into the lives of people. Psalms, words of encouragement, and hymns. Listen, what we sing in this generation, the next generation is going to be doing it. And these hymns are just supposed to take the truths that come right out of the Word of God, and we sing them. Not only privately, but as he's saying here, we're singing them corporately. We're singing them to each other. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Songs that remind us about the goodness of God, the nature of God, the love, the mercy, the power, the hope that we have in Christ. He says, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. It's the Lord that brings great joy into my life and into your life. Our joy is to be found in Christ, in the truths of Scripture, not in the things of this world. If money's what's making you happy and not God, you've got a problem. If sports is making you happy more than God, you've got a problem. This is what he's talking about, how to walk in the light. Turning from sin and turning to God, continually being ye filled with the Spirit. And God is not saying these things so that we can kind of go, that's interesting. He's appealing to us that we would hear his word and do something about it. If you're out of bounds, do something about it. The Lord is worthy of our worship. He goes on in verse 20, he says, giving thanks. Once in a while? No. An attitude of gratitude. Giving thanks always. Man, we have so much to be thankful for. So much to praise God about. Listen, by the time I finish this sentence that I'm in right now, you will have drawn a breath, and only God made that possible. You got something to be grateful for. By the grace of God, your heart's beating and you're breathing right now. You've got a lot to be thankful for. By the grace of God, we're sitting here under the eternal, holy word of God. My opinion doesn't mean a thing. But here we are with God's eternal word opened. And God is speaking to us through his word, telling us what's right, what's wrong, how we should walk now as the children of God. Giving thanks always. For what? For all things. To who? To God, the Father. In the name of our Lord. Who's your Lord? Jesus. Giving thanks always. For all things. To God, the Father, in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And then he says this, and we close. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Submitting to somebody else? Look, no believer is superior to some other believer. Positionally, we are children of God. We have equality. Our value is rooted in Christ. But having said that, we are to walk in humility, putting others' needs above our own, and yet he has given different job assignments that people have authority and jurisdiction in different areas. Children, submit to your parents. They have a God-given authority over you that they'll answer for. Teachers have responsibilities in the church, those who teach, and they'll be held to a higher standard. Teachers in classrooms, students, submit to their authority. You're going to be driving home later on tonight, going down Capitol Boulevard, and as you look in the rearview mirror, you see the blue lights going on. Submit to the authorities, for God has not given them the sword in vain. But they are to judge wickedness and to reward good. And when you get pulled over, I'm sure it's just the police officer saying, so grateful for how you drive so nicely down Capitol Boulevard. He's just rewarding good. Romans 13 is his job description. There are those who serve as pastors. And Hebrews 13, 7 and 17 says to submit to them that their job might be a joy, not driving us crazy. For we will give an account of your soul. And even as he's now heading here by bringing this up, is there is the headship of government, specifically the government of the household, and how Christ is the head of the church and the husband is to be the head of the house. It doesn't mean that the husband is smarter than the wife. Case in point, my house. It doesn't mean that the husband has more value than the wife, equal in value. It just means that there are different job assignments that God has, and he tells us as his people, as we walk in the light, to respect the assignments that he's placed. Husbands, as much as you want to, all of your days, God did not give you the assignment of having babies. You can want to all you want. He gave that assignment to the wife. Now, some of you husbands look like you're trying. But God has set these things up. And so he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God, that we would be found pleasing to him. And this is how we walk in the light. Make sure that you understand that this is the will of God. Listen, understand the will of God. Redeem the time. Walk in the light. Be filled with the Spirit. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk in the light. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word. And I thank you for your people that listen to this word. Lord, would you open our ears that we would hear what you say in your word to your people. And Lord, if we are out of bounds, would you correct us? And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's never even began this journey, never started the walk, and they're lost, there's still darkness before you, would you cause them to wake up that Christ might give them light and save them. Lord, your Spirit is able to do all things, so we entrust now the words that we have spoken, which are your words, to the hearers that have heard your word, that your word would not return void, but it would accomplish its work. We ask this in Jesus' name and amen.